fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Wednesday, February 20th, 2008 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I'll be here for the next 2 hours, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday, on LibertyRadioLive.com. That's LibertyRadioLive.com. My first hour guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. He's a regular on my show, comes on at least once a month, and we got a lot to talk about today. Secondly, in the second hour, I may replay the first hour from yesterday's show, and that was the interview between Eric Phelps and Leo Zagami from Italy. And that was quite an interesting interview, and I got a great response from that. And I might replay the first hour. I'm about 90% sure. Not sure yet, but I do have some comments about that before we get to Tony. Well, first of all, a program note. On Friday, I'm going to have on former Congressman Bob Dornan. Now, he's been with me before with Bob Dumas regarding the POW issue, and that's the story about how many American families have been lied to by the American government in the last, going back to World War II, regarding their loved ones who the government has said has been, they're missing, but they're dead, when in fact there was evidence that many thousands were alive. So Bob was one of the few people in Congress that fought that POW issue, Bob Dornan. And he's going to come on and talk about some other things. He's going to, you know, you remember Christopher Strunk in New York, the first state representative candidate in New York running on an anti-Vatican Jesuit ticket. Well, he contacted me last night, and Bob Dornan, the former congressman, said he wanted to come on my show this Friday and talk about how the Jesuits have been organizing the pedophile rings in our country. And I thought that'd be quite interesting. Now, this should be great. This should be so great, because Bob is Jesuit trained, and he went to a Jesuit university. And now that should bring out every single guy in this so-called truth movement that unless you are crystal clear, I mean, unless, let's say I talked to a Jesuit when I was at Loyola High School, when I went to Notre Dame High School in Chicago. And, you know, these guys on some of these websites are going to try to figure, say that I'm a Vatican agent. Well, they said that the other day because I interviewed Leo Zagami, who talked to a Jesuit priest, Father Michel, in Italy, and now Leo is a Vatican agent. So you know what? We got a problem in the move in the truth movement too with the so-called people who are acting as judges and jury without evidence. So let me give you a story here. This is not a court. This is not a court of law. It's a court of public opinion, but still there's some rules. And one of the rules I adhere to are the court, maybe some evidence rules that come from the court of law. And that is this. I see no evidence that Leo Zagami works with the Vatican, even though he's from Italy, even though he interviewed Father Michel, even though he was a former Illuminati member. I don't see any solid evidence that he was. Now, if you want to spend your time worrying about that, go right ahead. But look at all the good things he's brought forward. And I basically listened to that whole interview yesterday and came to the conclusion there wasn't enough evidence to indict him, as many people on the Internet are doing. It's just not fair. So go ahead and indict me, too, then. I don't really care. I've been called a Mossad agent. I've been called every name under the sun. And like I told you, that's probably the agreement we have with the Jesuits. I get to tell the truth about them, and they get to lie about me, and that way they don't come and try to kill me. So that's kind of the basically our implied agreement. So, you know, all of you people out there who think you're too goody-two-shoes, you know, and you're going to get yourself aligned with one group, and if one person says one word that doesn't agree with what you think, and all of a sudden they're working with the enemy, then the guy, you know what, he can just go to you know where. And that's the way I feel about it. Well, anyway, let me get to Tony Alamo. And Tony's been a good friend of mine, and he's brought so much good in the last 40 years, and he knows what I'm talking about, because I think I've never seen a guy put up with more BS than you, Tony, and really stand strong behind your beliefs. How are you today?
Real good. How are you doing, Greg?
Yeah, and I, you know, it gets, I'm kind of a little bit riled up today, and it's basically because some of these people out there, really, if you just don't, if you say one word they don't agree with, and they're so-called Bible believers, then all of a sudden, you work with the enemy, and it's just not fair, and they did it to a friend of mine in Italy, and I just don't like it.
Well, yeah, it's a common thing among even Protestants, because they are not, they just don't have an in-depth knowledge of the Bible, or they don't have an in-depth knowledge of how the Lord was, so that they can deal with people correctly. There's so many different Protestants that I hear on the air that are saying so many wrong things, but, you know, on the other hand, they do preach some good messages, but the things that they say are just unbelievable, and they don't have a knowledge of the things that are going on in the world right now. Actually, the Vatican is, what they're doing is they're helping the Buddhists out, they have helped the Hare Krishnas, all the Satan worshippers they help, because they feel that we're going to have a one-world order. Everything has to be in order. We can't fight one another. We have to all have one religion, and when you are saying something like that, now the people have been not brainwashed. They all need to be brainwashed, but they're brain damaged. The Bible says that all the people in the world that are not the Lord's or the body of Christ, they are deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan has the entire world deceived, and that's why you mention one thing, like just because of the fact that this man, Christopher Strunk, might have been from Italy or wherever. So was Alberto Rivera.
Yeah, well, we're talking, yeah. And that's unfair because you don't know the whole story behind Leo Zagami, and that's the guy I was talking about. So I don't want to, you know, I just brought that up because it was the intro to my show. But I was trying to just make an example that even people, for example, there's enough problems with people on the other side that we're constantly fighting. But when there's so-called people in the that are fighting the Vatican, they begin to nitpick at others if they don't agree exactly with what they say. And that doesn't sound to me like what Jesus would do, because the world can never be all the same and all under one religion and one frame of thinking. And that would fall right into the hands of what they want to do. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. In other words, the Lord wants us to be just one body, all of us agreeing on what he says. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, what he says is what God says, and God is always right. But everybody has their own opinions and their own ideas, and the whole world as a group, that's what I don't like about democracy, is because it's of the people, by the people, for the people, instead of let's all do what the Lord says.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, they're like a mob today. Everyone has their own opinion and ideas, and they're like 100% wrong. I mean, if they're not agreeing with God, and so they want to do away with anyone that says, no, we have to all believe the same way. We can't. And God, the Lord, the Bible, the Word of God says, totally separate yourself from all other religions. Do not, don't be involved with them whatsoever, and if they don't agree with what I, the Lord, says, shake the dirt of your feet off of them, the dust of your sandals, your tennis shoes, or whatever other footwear you use, because he said you must be separated from all the other religions, because they're all false. Christ died for us, not Buddha, or the Pope, or anybody like that, or Mary. She didn't die for us. She's not deity. She's a dead Jewish woman, and they think that it's good to pray to her because they have to be about, you know, maybe 40% correct in what they say. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a good counterfeit. It's like if somebody did a $3.25 bill, that would be a joke. It wouldn't be a good counterfeit. So they have to mingle some of the truth in order to make it look semi Right, but the Bible tells you not to pray to any other person but God through Christ. It never, as a matter of fact, it renounces praying to anybody else.
Yeah, and that kind of thinking here immediately immediately separates anyone from the Pope, and that's a good thing. And we have a whole bunch of people in this country who are misled about what you just said, because we got a whole bunch of people think they're honoring God when instead, behind the scenes, they're paying homage to the Pope.
Right, and the way they pay homage to him is, they are, like, for instance, in Indonesia, they're building Buddhist temples, and they don't say it's not right to pray to Buddha. They're building temples to Muhammad. They don't say it's wrong to pray to Muhammad, but when God tells you that it's, like, blasphemy to pray to anyone other than him,
mm-hmm.
and the whole world is deceived.
Yeah, and so then on the other side of the ocean, we have a whole bunch of Muslims who are deceived, and then we have Muslim leaders who are co-opted just like our leaders, and their main goal is to destroy us, ours to destroy them, and the Vatican plays both sides against the middle and loves to do that. And so when I bring out a show like yesterday, which was with a Bible believer and a Muslim, I find it interesting that both of them were so, they were right on track, because they both agreed that they could work together, even despite their differences. What I find is the people that commented on this, many of the people that commented on the show from both camps, could never get to that point, and that was my point, and I really believe that. I believe that even though we may have differences with people on the other side of the ocean, there's a way to work together against the Vatican without them using us to work against each other for their benefit. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, I agree that, you know, when people are born of the Spirit, Christians, which means you're the body of Christ, now the Vatican is even saying that they want to, and they're bringing a lot of Protestants into the Vatican because they've got them feeling that, well, we'll give you food. Well, it's like Esau in the Bible, you know, he sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. People will sell their souls for food and things like that. And if you are making a stand and saying, no, we're not going to join the Buddhists, no, we're not going to join the Muslims, we're not going to join the Vatican or anything, what they do, like take for instance in February of 1983, just to give you an idea of how many years they've been at us, the minute I got saved, everybody just loved me before that, and then the Vatican started coming out of the woodwork. There's a guy named Scott Gregory who just wrote me a letter saying that he now has a website that's just as big as, or getting as big as Google, and he was in our church, and a lot of people didn't like him, so I put him kind of under my wing. And the minute that I told him that he has to work just like everybody else in the church, he got really upset with me because, and he left, and he went to Channel 40 in Fort Smith, Arkansas, on Woods and Keither. Were the people doing the interviews with him. And then he went to, and then the district attorney, Ron Fields, out in Fort Smith, Arkansas, said, let's get Tony, because they saw him doing an interview against me. But it really wasn't that bad. And then Jack Jewell from the FBI, they all leaked together. And they tried to get me on a little Lindbergh thing where they said Gregory was... Scott Gregory was telling him that they were trying to get him to say that I kidnapped him.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 40 also, they called this Mystery on the Ridge. We had a huge living facilities up on the ridge. And so they tried to get me on a, that I was fixing the vote in this little town of and Jack Jewell flew all the way out to Boston, Massachusetts, where Scott Gregory finally went, And he said all of them were saying that they had said that I had said bad things about him in the paper. So he came down and he looked. He went to the library and couldn't find it. But he signed that I kidnapped him because he said they said he's not. You know, he wasn't that bright, and so they got him all angry, and he signed the Little Lindbergh Act against me, and then I was trying to fix a voting situation over there in Dyer, Arkansas, and Jack Chewell of the FBI, and the district attorney, Ron Fields, and all the media there, and the whole government came down on me.
Yeah, and, you know, I know this, because, you know, for over 40 years, you know, you have been spreading this information about the Vatican before a lot of these people that are listening to my show who are starting to get to the point considered it. And you were passing out flyers. You were helping people in L.A. get off the streets. You met your wife, who was a Bible believer, that when you formed your first churches. And when you started to get a following, knowing your background in music and how you were a great promoter and how you tried to really help people, they came down on you hard for years. And then we even had an FBI agent on, John Peeler, who's been on my show many times talking about you, verifying that the government and Clinton were after you. And they told him to find anything they could, or even plant our weapons, do anything to bring you down. And he said, I couldn't find anything. It was crystal clean. And so he leaves the FBI, tells the truth, and he's persecuted for it. And they've never stopped on you. And the question I have is, you know, I don't know how you've been able to handle it over those years, because it just comes from every, you know, the media is used as a buffer, and then they'll mislead people to thinking about you, and they'll accuse you of what they are. They say, Tony Alamo's a cult member. And basically, the Vatican is the cult.
Yeah, they say I'm a cult leader.
Right, right.
But the thing is the way that I overcome them is I stay in prayer with the Lord. And then also, what I did is I had this Scott Gregory write this all up, and he signed it, and I distributed it all over the city of Fort Smith and the Van Buren, Dyer, and Alma, and all those different places. And then the district attorney, Ron Fields, got on television and says, we are going to bring a charge against this Scott Gregory for telling lies about this wonderful man, Tony Alamo. And Jack Jewell, all of a sudden, from the FBI, disappeared. And all these other people that with the Southwest Times record, they knew they were lying, and they set a whole thing up. And this has been going on for so many years, it's unbelievable. Now they're trying to trump up other charges on me that are just make me look thousands of times worse than Adolf Hitler. It's unbelievable. And they'll do that to anybody. I'm sure they're doing that to you right now, aren't they not?
Well, you know, they in a sense, what they'll do to me is they'll just use the media against me, and they'll claim that I'm a Mossad agent or try to discredit me in those ways. And that's what they'll do with a media guy like me. And then they won't allow me to get on, you know, bigger stations, talk to people, or even the bigger stations in the alternative media, because they don't want to hear this story. And so they try to basically keep it as quiet as they can, and will, again, accuse me of doing what they actually do. But in your case, I believe it's because, one, you preach the Bible, which they hate. Two, you spread the word about the Vatican being the Antichrist. You're not afraid to talk about the political connections with Clinton and the rest of these people. And because you have a following, and because people listen to what you're saying around the world and all your radio shows, and you're spreading this message that is not unifying with the Vatican, they have to do something, and what they've tried to do is discredit you for years.
Right. What I did is I also wrote a piece of literature called The Pope's Secrets, and in it I tell them that the Vatican tries to make itself look like a candy store and an ice cream parlor and everything, but in the back rooms, she tries to make herself look like Snow White. She can't. It can't be that she's a devil worshiper. Nobody must know that. It can't be that she worships. The popes worship with devil worshippers and the Merlins and soothsayers and all types of different people. I said, but in the back room of the Vatican, the front part looks like an ice cream parlor and a candy store. But in the back room, all her little dwarfs are back there with cigars in their mouth, with their feet cocked up on the desk, and they're running prostitution. They're starting wars. They're bagmen. They're doing the bet. They're betting. They're in charge of the. And they say there's no mafia. They are the mafia. They're the government. The government is the mafia. And people don't know that. I mean, just try. There's so many millions of people that have run into them. And they know. So the Vatican has to keep herself looking real spotless and clean. And so you see all these lay people that are on television, and some of them are real nice guys. I mean, I remember in Israel and other places, I've talked to Catholic priests. They have not even the slightest idea of what's going on in the Vatican. When Martin Luther went over there, he said it was a sewer of corruption. Little young girls and little boys were running around in the nude serving hors d'oeuvres and everything for those bunch of swine, and they were doing this. And you find out, like, for instance, even in over in Nashville, Tennessee, my brother was a talk show host there.
Uh-huh.
And he was also the number one DJ in Nashville, and he stated that these judges invited him to one of their parties, and they were all Catholics because he was Catholic at that time too. Yeah, they had big bowls of cocaine, and they had little boys and girls running around like 9 and 10 and 11 years old in the nude, serving hors d'oeuvres and drinks to him. They were all drunk. And they were prosecuting some Catholic little women, that were real nice. They were having a roulette wheel, and people could gamble. And if they win, they win these pies that they made and cakes. And these judges were going to want to throw them in prison to make it look like that the Vatican is against it. They're not really no one would dare persecute the Vatican if they were as bad as they are. Well, they're mm-hmm. bad, but they don't care anything about the lower echelon in that cult. Many of those people are saved. Not all Catholics are bad at all. I mean, I found a lot of good ones. As a matter of fact, almost 75 to 80% of the people in my church are former Catholics. They know what it is, and we teach them very strongly over here what the whole story about the Vatican, that it's like the Lord said, it's like the one-third of the kingdom of heaven was swept away by the tail of that great red dragon, the devil. And that devil has crowns on his head and many heads, and it is the actual political and economic and system in the world. They actually are causing the entire United States of America to go into recession. And it's coming so fast that it's unbelievable. They're going to change the currency, and that's the worst thing that could happen to a lot of people here. Not as much as them believing their false doctrine and going to hell, but at least people are concerned about money while they're here in this world, the economic system. And they don't realize that they're deliberately making the United States of America go broke. They don't want there to be any industry here anymore, because they're trying to make a heaven or a Mecca here in the United States, to where the elite can live without smog and all this sort of thing. So that's why.
Yeah, and so they'll put the industry back in China and in Russia.
Japan, and Germany, all these other foreign countries, and the people on the street here, many of them are homeless and without work, and they're having to work two jobs because of inflation to make ends meet. They're losing their houses, and the banks are trying to restructure their loans so that they can at least stay in their homes so that there's not so many vacant homes because they realize they'll be vandalized if people are not living in them.
Well, I told you that story about my brother. He worked for Countrywide Mortgage, and they were just bought out about 2 years ago. He said, we're the biggest in the country. Everything looks good. Nothing can happen to us. Guess what happens? All the subprime loan companies go under, so Countrywide goes under. Guess who buys Countrywide? Right now they're in a restructuring. Countrywide is being bought out by Bank of America, and the Bank of America is a Jesuit bank.
Right. And also the Jesuits have built up their different resources in Japan, so it would definitely be bought by the Jesuits. Jesuits either from Italy or Japan or China. They're everywhere. They're like in every fabric of everything in the world, and it's happening because the Lord is allowing it happening because people don't listen to His word. And if you don't listen to His word, that must mean that you love the devil. You love His word just like Eve did. And they're saying, no, this is going to be the greatest thing in the world, that you don't have to worry with us. You are not going to die. You won't go to hell. Just the same story that the devil told Eve. But we do die. Check out all the different cemeteries in the world.
Yeah, and you know, the same thing will happen when they turn over the coins to Amero, making it the Amero, which is the new currency like the euro they have planned here. Basically, what happens then, the dollar gets completely devalued. People lose a lot, and they have no choice but to switch over to the Amero, correct?
Correct. That's why gold has gone up to 1,000 an ounce, and some of those, like $50 peso, is worth $1,100 and some odd now. I remember when I was buying some of them at $200 a piece.
Let me give you an example. When I lived in Italy between 1980 and 86, the dollar was 2 to 1. So basically, if you made dollars there, you could live like a king. It was double what the lira was.
Yeah.
Now, if you go, what happened when the lira was exchanged for the euro now, which all Europe's on the same currency, I had Italian friends who had a lot of liras, and that wasn't worth anything, so they lost a lot. So that gives you the sign of what's going to happen here. Now, if you go there, the euro's worth more than the dollar. I think it's 1.3 or something like that to the dollar.
Right. When I was in Canada, the Canadian was only 90 cents to our dollar, and now they're in way better shape than we are. Currency-wise, they're going to change the money system here, as they said, and the money here will be worthless. I mean, naturally, if you have some gold coins, but, gold coins, it's hard to keep an amount of them around. That would be... to carry gold coins, nobody...
have to buy a mule.
Yeah, that's why they call the Vatican, the Lord calls it Mystery Babylon. They're undermining everything in such a... to them, it's a clever way, and to the people of the world, it's clever. But any one of us that can see through that veil, it's not clever at all. It's so easy to determine the things that they're doing to the people in the world. That's why people need to call upon the Lord and get themselves saved, because there's salvation in no one else. The Lord said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to heaven, the only truth about getting to heaven, and the only no one else can give us eternal life but Him. And so people need to get a hold of the Lord God through Him, not through Mary, because Mary's the dead Jewish girl. And if you open up her grave, there's bones in there. That's just the same as like praying to bones. She's dead, and the Bible says the dead know nothing.
Right, and we know what they've done to Mary. They've idolized her as an idol, and basically make a lot of money off of it at all their Fatima, at all their sightings,
yeah.
And use that to kill people, because they turn around and use that money to fund their wars. And that's basically how it goes. Well, listen, Tony, we're going to go into a short break here, 3 minutes, so you hold on the line. We've got another half hour to go. My guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. We'll be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Nobody knows where we are now.
and I'm glad you're back. Welcome back to the second half hour. My guest is Pastor Tony Alamo. You can read about Tony's ministries all over the country, around the world, by the way, and ask him. And I tell you what, he's got some good answers, and I think it's something that you ought to try. Why not, Tony? I mean, I always say that. I mean, there's a lot of people out there listening that haven't found the Lord. What's wrong with giving that a try? They've tried most everything else. How do you deal with someone who has never found the Lord? That's an interesting proposition. Go ahead.
Yeah, I go by the Spirit. The Spirit tells us that, and the Spirit, the Word of God is Spirit and it is life. Jesus said, "The words that I speak are Spirit and they are life." The only source of eternal life in the world is the Lord, is Jesus. He's the wisdom and the power of God. The Bible, in the first chapter of the John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So he went all the way through human living so that he could show people that a human being, if they have the power, the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of God living in them, that they can keep all the commandments. It's very easy to do, but it's obvious he lets us know that no one can keep the law if they don't have the power of the living Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of Christ living in them. The living Spirit, or the Comforter, he sends into everybody that calls on the Lord. And when the Lord enters them, it's called circumcising the heart. No longer do we have to be circumcised outside, or the flesh profits nothing, but the Holy Spirit gives you the power to be able to keep the commandments. And so when he died on the cross, he said that he had to go away, otherwise no one would be able to be saved. And he has to shed genuine human blood, because he was a genuine human being, but he had God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in him. And so he's saying, this is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He says, if I go away, then he's going to ascend into the kingdom of heaven, and when people pray to him to have eternal life, he sends the Comforter, or the life-giving Spirit, into them, and their dead spirit is brought to life. Is brought to life by the power of the life-giving Spirit, which Jesus now is. And he brings the Father with him and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the Spirit. He's not a ghost. You know, some of the Bible says ghost, but that was put in there by Shakespeare. He just changed a few of the words, but this all means the same. He is a Spirit. God is a Spirit, and so the way that we can, only way that we can worship him, he doesn't listen to the prayers of the unsaved, the Buddhists or the Muslims or the hierarchy or the unsaved people of any religion. He only listens to people that have had all their sins washed away and drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness with the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. He received that blood by faith. And then you ask him into your heart and to wash your sins away, and then he sends down the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, into your spirit, and you become born again. You're born again. You become part of the body of Christ, because we all must enter the kingdom of heaven through Christ. So when the Lord looks at you now, after you're saved, now you can talk to God. You can go boldly to the throne, and when you pray to him, just pray in the name of Jesus. And don't infuriate the Lord by praying to Mary or any saint or anybody else, or Buddha or Muhammad or the Pope or any of these false people. But just get up there in the name of Jesus. And it's so simple that even little kids can understand how to get saved. He said, "Suffer the little children to come to me, for this is the way the kingdom of heaven is that little children come to him." And we must come to him as a little child in faith, believing.
And let me tell you exactly, if I could tell my listeners my thoughts, and it's very simple. We have Tony Alamo, who's a pastor, a Bible-believing pastor, who doesn't pull any punches about, one, explaining who the Antichrist is when he gets on the pulpit. He's, two, not afraid to say that you don't need to go through a priest, you don't need to go through a pope to get to heaven. And this is totally opposed to any kind of Vatican thinking that is going on in our country today. And so what, where Tony differs from a pastor in a normal Protestant church is Protestant pastors now will never say those things. In fact, most of them are for the war. Tony's come out against the war. And so what happens here is we have a man who follows in the footsteps of the reformers, the Reformation, Calvin, Wycliffe, Luther, who came down and said the same things and were persecuted for it. Now here in America, what's happened, Pastor Alamo stands on that those principles, and those principles were the principles underlying the foundation of a country like ours, who is unique in the world in that we have religious freedom, the true sense of religious freedom, allowing you people that are Muslims in our country, if you're a Jew, and if you're whatever religion, to practice it freely here and not be persecuted for it like you are in other countries. And so the point being is what the Vatican will do when they see this is they will try to destroy a man like Pastor Alamo or preachers that don't follow the line. Because what it's doing is threatening them, it's threatening what they want to do to this country, and basically what they want to do is divide and conquer. And I believe what Tony is saying is that he doesn't want to divide and conquer people. He wants to live in a country of freedom where people can worship on their own. But I believe it's important that a man like this gets a chance to worship too. And in this country, you can see that Bible believers are considered fanatics. They're considered enemies of the state, and it's just the way they were considered when the Reformation came down and the Vatican killed, burnt at the stake so many people. And so you're looking at a man I think falls in that category. And I want to thank you for coming out strongly against the Vatican.
Well, yeah, if you go to one of those priests or the Pope or any other, this infuriates God, and you'll never get saved that way. There's only one way, and Jesus is the way. Again, there's no truth but Him. There's no eternal life unless you go to Him. Anyone that He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Anyone trying to approach the Father, even in prayer, but through me, He says, is like a thief and a robber. And the Bible says, no thief or robber is going to enter into the kingdom of God. And they say, don't fear. Listen, if I didn't have the fear of God, I would have been gone a long time ago. The Bible said that that the whole duty of man is to fear God. I mean, fear what He's saying. Do exactly what He says, because when you're reading the Bible, you're reading the Holy Spirit. This is that is the actual Spirit, and it is life. I mean, you can't get into heaven without believing that. And the Bible absolutely tells us that the Vatican is the seat of Satan. Rome, the city of the seven hills or seven mountains, is where Satan's seat is, and he controls everything from there. And if you're going to that church, he said, come out of her before I throw you in a bed of affliction with her and kill the children of that cult. And it is a cult, and I'm not afraid of it. I'm so much more afraid of God to not do what He says, because there's so many what I call spiritual wimps. They will not do it, and they're going to wind up in hell for not actually, for being fearful and of these people and unbelieving. I would rather die than to, and with a thousand machine gun bullets in me, than I would to start agreeing with their filthy doctrine of let's build you born-again Christians, we all have to be one, when the Lord says you have to be separate. You cannot unite yourself with these people, because if you do, you're going to be committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness in this world or in the world to come. Everyone that's siding in with anything other than the Word of God is going to hell. I mean, because they trust, just like Eve, they trust Satan more than they do God. God says you'll die. No, He won't. You won't die. He's lying to you. I am telling you, Satan says, I'm telling you, you're going to live forever. Thou shalt not die. What a lie. I mean, he's saying the same thing today. We all have to become one. Don't listen to God. God says we have to be separate and holy and to It's just shake the dirt of your feet off. Don't even wish to shake hands with them. Don't even offer Godspeed to them or God bless you or anything like that. And that just seems too violent to these phonies that love to go around killing everybody. Even if the Vatican, I never feel like murdering them like they murder Christians. I don't feel like throwing people in prison like they do so many people, including myself, on false charges. These people are so wicked that God is never going to let them into the kingdom of heaven unless they repent. And I'm not, you know, I have no ill feelings against them, because when the Jesus said, when they attack you and say all manner of evil against you, just rejoice, because so did it happen to the prophets before you. And therefore, you know, I don't worry about them attacking me. They're just doing numbers on me and all kinds of television stations and everything, saying all kinds of evil things. All the evil things is that I wanted to kidnap Jeff Morris Arnold, the judge in Fort Smith, and I won that case, and it was nothing. Why would I want to kidnap a federal judge? Or why would I want to hold people prisoner? If people don't want to come to my church, I want them to leave immediately. If they don't believe in what I'm saying, go somewhere else. There's thousands, even probably millions of churches in the world. Go to one of them. If they don't believe the doctrine, get out, because I'm preaching strictly what the Bible says, the Word of God.
Exactly. And, you know, going back, just so people refresh people's memory, you did spend 4 years in jail on a trumped-up IRS charge.
Yeah, well, I was sentenced to 6 years in federal prison. I was in the FBI. They took me out of the venue where I was, and they tried me in Memphis, Tennessee, where I don't have a church. They didn't dare try me in Fort Smith, Arkansas, or Los Angeles, where everybody knows me. But they took me into Memphis, where they might have heard about me and stuff like that. And we've gone there distributing literature and everything. But they actually told my attorney that said, you know, my attorney Jeff Dickstein, he hadn't filed for income tax for 17 years, and he wrote a book, anti-IRS book. And the judge told him, Judge McCullough out there, and the prosecuting attorney said that, you know, like, if we, they told me, they had us on a conference call, they said, Tony, you know, your attorney could turn on you, because he could do 17 years in the penitentiary for 17 years of not filing for income tax. And so during the trial, Jeffrey Dickstein didn't fight for me. He won the case in Fort Smith, but when the IRS threatened to send him to prison for 17 years, he backed up and just wouldn't fight for me. And one of our boys was behind one of the pews there, in the we call benches there, and looking through our files, and they didn't know he was in there. When he looked up, he saw my attorney, Jeff Dickstein, putting his hand on Chris Belcher, the prosecuting attorney's shoulder, and said to him, am I doing all right? So you figure that one out. So it's obvious that he slowed me down too. So they sent me to prison, and I spent the first few months in Memphis, Tennessee prison. Then they sent me to Colorado, Florence, Colorado, and I spent a year or two there, and then they sent me down to Arkansas, where in the Texarkana prison, Texarkana, Texas, rather. And I did 4 years, and because of good behavior, they let me out in 4 years, but I had to use senators and congressmen and everything that believed the ministry. And then another woman, Nancy, what was her last? Nancy Roth. And the head of internal affairs or something, and they kept writing, and finally they let me out in 4 years. Then I had to do a half year at the Salvation Army, which they used as a halfway house. That used to be a good organization, Salvation Army, and I like it. You know, I try to win their souls back, but they've backslidden. They've fallen away from the Lord and joined the United Council of Churches. So they've joined the Antichrist because they don't want to suffer persecution. Now, that they know, all these churches know, that if you really stand for the Word of God, that you're going to get a lot of persecution. As a matter of fact, they'll burn your church down. They'll send people over to threaten you. And they will actually do what they say. They'll shoot bullets in your church like they just did me. They say that I have guns. I do not have a gun. We don't even have a cap pistol over here. We don't even let our kids play with squirt guns because they'll say, oh, we made a mistake. You know, we killed them. We thought it was a real gun. But what I did do is, because they fired bullets into our church, is I hired armed guards that the same kind that Walmart has. Now, okay, they won't say Walmart is a weasel. They're a bunch of weasels over there because they have armed guards. And banks, they have armed guards. And all, and the over at the Vatican, they have these Swiss guards that have Uzi machine guns. And they have them all over the city to protect the Pope. And when he goes out on these different excursions, like when he went to Canada, they built ramps for him. To show you that he actually controls the government. Yeah, they have all kinds of the Air Force and planes flying over him, making sure that if anyone starts or attempts to kill him, they will kill anyone that they even think is about ready to do that. Alberto Rivera, the man that was next to the Pope, got saved, and he came around. I got to know him real well.
Yeah, I know. He's the former Jesuit priest. He's even spoken at your ministry before he was killed, right?
Right, and he lived at my house for a while, and I bailed him out of I bailed him out of jail. His wife called me up and told me that Alberto's in jail. The Jesuits put him in jail, so I bailed him. So I went down and found out they had him on a false charge. They were saying that he was writing false, had a bad check. It wasn't, so I just bailed him out of jail. In Los Angeles, I was there, and I sent a bunch of guards, unarmed guards, just some of the big brothers at the church, over to the house. That she says, "I'm afraid over here, all by myself." Well, next time you interview, you can ask her about.
Yeah, I'll ask her because she's been on my show and she's talked about you. And yeah, that, I didn't know that story that you bailed him out of jail once before they killed him.
Oh yeah, I did that, and they lived at our house out in Arkansas. I asked him to, he had a lot of very broken English, but I let him come over to the church in L.A. and preach there, and we'd been out to lunch and dinner, and we were real good friends. He came and visited me over at the prison in Arkansas. He used to be right next to the Pope. I mean, you know the whole story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's right next, so he knows them real well. And he had a wealth of information about the Vatican and how unscrupulous they are, and is talking about the Black Pope, who's the real leader of it, and that this Pope that they had out here, they were homosexuals, and of course...
Yeah, you know, to give you an idea, when I wrote a story recently, I don't know how long ago it was, but when I found out some information that the Pope has a 24-year-old gay lover... And this came from some people in Italy, not just one person, but it was verified by three people, one being a very high-level a person in the Monte Carlo Lodge, in fact, the head of the lodge. Basically, what happened is they didn't like that kind of bad press, right? And so in Italy, they recently wrote an article about me in Italian, by a gentleman by the name of Massimo Introvigno. Now, this is interesting, and he writes a story that says anybody that talks with him is mentally ill, that talks against us like that and thinks the Pope is gay, and this guy's crazy. He should spend his time looking for Elvis instead of criticizing the Vatican. And it turns out the guy that wrote the story is a known Satanist working with the Vatican in Italy named Massimo Introvigno. And this is from people in Italy that I know. So here we go. We get a Satanist working with the Vatican criticizing me for writing an article that the Pope has a 24-year-old gay lover.
Yeah. I wrote a story about him that John Paul II, he used to make the gas, help make the gas for IG Farben to killed the Jewish people over there. And he, I don't know whether he was stirring the brew or whatever he was
doing. Yeah.
But he also would go as a priest to the different factories to minister to the little kids there in the nursery. And the people would throw oily rags at him when he was leaving because the little kids were saying that he was playing with us, you know, and molesting us in there. And the people hated him. They wanted to stay out of those factories because of the daycare centers there. And it turned out that he's as gay as a goose, you know. He's really, I don't call it gay, really, but it is. They're the most miserable people on the face of this earth because they don't like being, if they pray to God and ask him to come into them, the power, that life-giving spirit would enter into them, and they wouldn't be homosexuals anymore. If they were, they say they were born homosexuals. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. We all have different kind of weird things with us until we're saved, but when we become born again, we become God-men and God-women. We're actual natural people, but the Spirit of God enters in us, and we're actually got God in us, so we are God-men and God-women. And that we have the power to whatever problem we have, it's broken. We don't have to sin. It's so easy to not sin when the life-giving Spirit of Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are in us.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and so, you know, what I want to get at here for the last few minutes, we have a few more minutes, is that you are still, how that jailing came down, just talk for a minute about it. And basically what happened is that John Peeler, an FBI agent who I've interviewed, was asked to bring you down, and this was through the Clinton administration when he was a governor in Arkansas. And Clinton wasn't too happy with you, and so John said he was to find anything. He was to plant weapons, and in fact, he was to kill you if he couldn't find anything. And he refused to do that. And the last thing that he said was that the only thing they could do is get you on an do anything to get you on a trumped up IRS charge. And that's what they did.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was like when Clinton was the governor, he was really kissing up to me. He wanted me to introduce him to Dolly Parton, and I did. I didn't know he had a girly problem or a sick problem like he does. So I went back into our restaurant where she was in the dressing room, and I asked Dolly, "You want to meet the governor?" "Yes." And so he gave me off ramps up to our property. He gave me a fire engine, everything. It's when he became president.
Uh-huh.
That he turned into a Catholic. He was a Catholic all the time. He went to Georgetown University. He got a free trip to England, and he went to Oxford, England. He went to parochial schools all of his life. He's a Catholic, but he pretended to be a Baptist to get the Christian vote. But he all the time was Catholic. When he became Catholic, he made an announcement and said the only thing good about Ross Perot is that he's Catholic. And he toured Canada and all over the place with the Pope. And then he started calling all of the true Christians, the body of Christ, he started calling us a cult. And the same thing with the Seventh-day Adventist people. The Branch Davidians were just an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so he said, "I take full responsibility for killing all those men, the mamas and their little children. I take full responsibility." He said, and his lesbian attorney general stated, "No, I take full responsibility for it." So they are lesbians. They're bisexual. I've heard that that his wife is. I don't know for sure about it, but the. His people say that he is the most disgusting, lustful person. I have tapes on it if you want one. If you want, I've got three or four tapes. You probably have them, too. If not, I'll send them to you.
Yeah, do that. I don't think I have those.
All of his men that were around him said that he would use them to appropriate women for him, and they she is a lesbian. And I don't want to say too much about that because the lesbians will all come out voting for her.
Yeah, and Peeler, the FBI agent, told me, he said Clinton was one of the main man responsible for trying to bring you down, and basically because you weren't going to help him get elected, basically.
No, I didn't. Once I found out what he was all about, I never voted for him at all. And if you're voting for his wife, you're voting for him because he's going to say that everyone other than Catholics are cults and they need to be destroyed.
All right, Tony, we're all out of time. Thanks for being on the show. We'll have you on again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Pastor Tony Alamo. We'll be back in 2 minutes on the Investigative Report.